श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वपरन्तिकं वाञ्छकापतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपराय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नमिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चिदेशतरिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे प्रेम पुण्यमक्ष पुरुष मुक्त सदा सुसुदुसुमकं कृष्ण भगवान् वचांसि मे ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय So, we continue reading from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, Daksha curses Lord Shiva. Today is 26th text. Sarva Baksha Dvija Vrityat Sarva Baksha Dvija Vrityat Dritta Vidya Tapo Vratam Dritta Vidya Tapo Vratam Vitta Dehendriya Rama Vitta Dehendriya Rama Yachaka Vicharantiha Yachaka Vicharantiha Sarvabhaksha, eating everything, having taken to education, money, deha, the body, indriya, the senses, arama, the satisfaction, yachaka, as beggars, vicharantu, let them wander. Iha, here. Translation proffered by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. These brahmanas take to education, austerity, and vows only for the purpose of maintaining the body. They shall be devoid of discrimination between what to eat and what not to eat. They will acquire money, begging from door to door, simply for the satisfaction of the body. Purport. The third curse inflicted by Nandishwar on the Brahmanas who supported Daksha is completely functioning in the age of Kali. The so-called Brahmanas are no longer interested in understanding the nature of the Supreme Brahman, although a Brahman means one who has attained knowledge about Brahman. In the Vedanta Sutra also it is stated, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, the human form of life is meant for realization of the Supreme Brahman. The absolute truth, or in other words, human life is meant for one's elevation to the position of a Brahmana. Unfortunately, the modern Brahmanas or so-called Brahmanas who come in originally Brahminical families have left their own occupational duties, but they do not allow others to occupy the posts of Brahmanas. The qualifications for Brahmanas are described in the scriptures in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all other Vedic literatures. Brahman is not a hereditary title or position. If someone from a non-Brahmana family, for example, one born in a family of Shudra, tries to become a Brahmana by Being properly qualified under the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, these so-called brahmanas will object. Such brahmanas, having been cursed by Nandishwar, are actually in a position where they have no discrimination between eatables and non-eatables and simply live to maintain the perishable material body and its family. Such fallen conditioned souls are not worthy to be called brahmanas, but in Kali Yuga they claim to be brahmanas, and if a person actually tries to attain the brahminical qualifications, they try to hinder his progress. This is the situation in the present age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu condemned this principle very strongly. During his conversation with Ramananda Rai, he said that regardless of whether a person is born in a Brahmana family or Shudra family, regardless of whether he is a householder or sannyasi, if he knows the science of Krishna, he must be a supreme spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said so-called Shudra disciples like Haridas Thakur and Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many so-called Shudra disciples like Haridas Thakur and Ramananda Rai. Even the Goswamis, who were principal students of Lord Chaitanya, were also ostracized from Brahmana society, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his grace, made them first-class Vaishnavas. Sarvabhakshad vichya vrityai tritta vidya tapobrata vitta dehendriya ramaya chaka vicharantiha. These brahmanas take to education, austerity and vows only for the purpose of maintaining the body. They shall be devoid of discrimination between what to eat and what not to eat. They will acquire money begging from door to door simply for the satisfaction of the body. Hare Krishna. Is it working better?
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is one of the main themes in Srimad Bhagavatam. And this curse of Nandishwar, we see, is taking effect very rapidly in Kali Yuga. Brahmanas, they are very proud of their brahminical birth, but they are totally degraded. And it's not a big surprise to go to the holy place like Vrindavan and have someone approaching you, happened to me, and saying, "You know who am I?" And, you know, how do you know who is the person, right? You say, "I don't know." And he says, "You know, I'm a Brahmana." And then he has very thick Brahman thread and he shows, "You see, I'm a Brahmana, right? Okay. So now you have to give me donation." It's like, okay, you have a thread, but what else do you have? Just because you have a thread, you can ask donations from people. But this is very typical, right? In Kali Yuga, the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says that Brahmana in Kali Yuga will mean just wearing Brahminical thread. That's enough. Right, to be a Brahmana. You don't require anything else. The only quality you need is a good quality of Brahmana thread. Very thick and very strong. Right? Other qualities are not required. So this is the understanding, very mundane, superficial understanding. And I came across this in India so many times. I remember one time I was taking a train from Delhi to Calcutta because I had to attend GBC meetings. I had to go on a particular day But there were no like cheaper class tickets, so the only one available was first class. So I had to get first class ticket for myself. And in India, first class ticket means nothing special. Well, you have like separate compartment, but it is as dirty as the other classes. Then the only difference is that they feed you 24 hours. This is first class in India, right? They feed you so much you cannot get through the door, right? At the end of your journey. And so, in that compartment I traveled with two Westerners and one elderly Bengali man. And I was very surprised how much one person can eat. You know, that the stewards, they were bringing food practically non-stop, right? With no breaks. And these guys were consuming it all. They were like vacuum cleaners, you know. That was unbelievable. And of course, to digest all this, and they were eating everything, you know, veg, non-veg, like, bring it on. And to digest it all, you know, then I realized how they can eat like hogs, right? That they have to drink alcohol to digest, to burn all this stuff, right? All this trash they put in their bodies. And so they were, you know, following it with alcohol drinks. Eating, drinking, that was their pastime, the whole journey. And I just couldn't stay there, you know. It was like staying in a pig pen or something, you know, with three big hogs, two-legged hogs. And so, you know, I had some devotees taking a ride in the other coach, so I was going there, spending my time there, and just coming, you know, for the night. But this was like practically non-stop. And then, you know, the Western guys, they got off the train a little earlier somehow. They went somewhere else. And I was, at the end of the journey, I was there in the coach. And yes, one thing that amongst those stewards, there was one, I've noticed him, and I'll always remember him. His name was Ashok Das. And in Bengal, if someone has a surname Das, that's an indication that one comes from Shudra family, right? Because Das means servant. And so all these stewards, they were like serving and cleaning, serving, cleaning, serving, cleaning. But this Ashok Das was most enthusiastic. And he was like serving with a smile, right? He had a big smile on his face. And I've noticed that Indian man is very, very demanding. You know, he would like... And he noticed that Ashok is most enthusiastic about serving. And he would always call for him, right? He would say, Ashok, come here. Then Ashok comes running. Yes, sir, what can I do for you? I'm not sitting very comfortably. Give me a pillow here. Okay, yes, sir, this is your pillow. Okay, good. But it's not comfortable enough. Tuck it behind my back. Okay, like that, all right. Now you can go. Yes, sir. Ashok, come here. There is a paper lying there in the corner. Pick it up. Yes, sir. Picks up the paper, runs away. Like that. Everything but the smile. I was thinking, you know, like, he doesn't become upset. Even though this man is obviously, you know, like, behaving towards him in a pretty abusive way. And, you know, at the end of the journey, all these stewards were getting tips. And naturally, Ashok got most of the tips because he did most of the services. But it was pretty obvious that he was not doing all this service for the sake of the tips. He was just happy to serve. And I was thinking, you know, like, just make this Ashok into the devotee and make him into pujari. I mean, the deities will be so pleased because he's so enthusiastic about service, right? He already has perfect service attitude. The only thing which is missing is serving Krishna rather than serving some idiots. Right? And there are so many people like that. They have quality, right? And they only don't know about Krishna. And so, but after this Western man left, and then I was alone in the compartment with that Indian man. And he looked at me. And yeah, it was like early morning. And he was pretty old. Like close to 70 at least. Around 70. And then I saw in the morning he takes like so many pills. Like full handful of, you know, handful of pills and just swallows it. And obviously, you know, he was like feeling devastated after the yesterday's, you know, exercise. And I was thinking, this is crazy. This man kills himself like that. And he just carries on without thinking what he is doing. He looked really sick. And then he looks at me and he says, "Oh, you are Hare Krishna." I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, you know about Hare Krishnas?" He said, "Of course I know. My family name is Mishra, same like Lord Sri Chaitanya Dev." I was like, thinking, it's unbelievable. He's a Brahmana. And I saw the Brahminical thread. And I just couldn't, you know, like, control myself. I said, "Dear sir, how did you manage to degrade yourself to such a condition? Being a Brahmana and also carrying the same surname like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And he hung his head. He said, "You know, I lived in the Western countries for too long. I picked up all these bad habits." Right? Then I kind of preached to him, you know, it's like, "You're too old to do these things, you know, stop this stuff. You know, eating and drinking anything and everything." But there are so many people like that. They, you know, belong to very high parentage, but, you know, their behavior is, I mean, worse than animal behavior, right? And so, why is that? Because people have no knowledge, right? What does it mean to be a Brahmana? And they don't even know what does it mean to be a human being. And so, actually, even in India, people don't know what, forget about, you know, Western countries. And so, without Srila Prabhupada, we can understand that, you know, it would just continue and everything would be ruined. And Srila Prabhupada had to, you know, did so much effort to preach in India, but the caste consciousness in India is so strong, you know, that his preaching had no effect. It's very interesting. It's only after he went to the West and convinced Westerners to take up to Krishna consciousness, and after that coming to India, then, you know, Indians woke up, whoa, already Westerners, we're trying to imitate West, and West is following our culture. Maybe there is some value in our culture as well. Right? And so, but Srila Prabhupada exerted himself so much trying to preach, trying to convince Indians about the value of their own culture and knowledge to no avail, practically speaking, right? No one wanted to support him. Okay, they were giving lip service, but, you know, "Yes, yes, yes, Swamiji, very good, carry on, carry on." But nothing else, right? And only after he went to the West and came with his Western disciples, you know, all the Indians were like, whoa, Western people taking up the Krishna consciousness. And so, and then he told his American disciples, okay, now you go and preach to these guys. Tell them about the value of their own culture. And one very enthusiastic young devotee, he was giving classes in villages. And he came to Srila Prabhupada, so enthused, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, it's so amazing. People are so sincere that they come and they don't even understand English. They don't know English, but still they sit at the class and listen, right? Without understanding. Of course, people were mesmerized, you know, like Westerner, talking Shastra, that never happened. Wearing tilak and following all the regulations, that's amazing. And then Srila Prabhupada said, very good, continue, carry on, preach like that more and more. And then he said, Srila Prabhupada, I have plan to learn Hindi and then give classes in Hindi. And I'm sure it will be even, you know, much more effective. And Prabhupada said, are you sure that if you preach in Hindi, people will be more interested? He said, oh yeah, well, of course, this is the language of the land. People will understand. Of course, they will be more interested. And then Prabhupada said, this is very strange. I preached in Hindi for so many years, no one was interested. But after I started preaching in English, everyone came. So Prabhupada had a very subtle sense of humor. But yeah, this is an unfortunate position. And it's called familiarity breeds contempt, right? If you have too much of anything, then you become too familiar with it, right? Like, I'm thinking about prasadam. Prasadam is such a rare Krishna's mercy. It's like, sometimes I go to Switzerland, to Zurich especially. They have very nice temple and very nice devotees there. And the temple is in a very prestigious part of the city, and it's near the Zurich Lake, and devotees go there regularly doing bhajans because many people go there. There is a park around the lake and they have a walk there. And so we were doing our bhajan, chanting Hare Krishna, and it was very interesting that Swiss families, they would pass by and they would stop to hear the kirtan with small children, and kind of, you know, instinctively they would push the children closer to the kirtan, right? Somehow everybody was doing that. I was very amazed, you know, like not everyone knows what's the value of kirtan, etc. But Paramatma knows in the heart, and Paramatma tells, you know, like it's very beneficial, and naturally, you know, parents want their children to get most of the benefits, right? So they were pushing their children close to the kirtan. And after we finished and packed everything, put instruments in the van, one young Swiss man came running and he said, you're Hare Krishnas? We said, yeah. Do you have any cookies? And I said, no, we don't really have any cookies. He said, well, that's pity. I remember 5 years ago you were singing and giving out cookies, and I really like those cookies, so I was hoping that you have some more. And I was thinking, you know, like, it's Switzerland. And, you know, of all the Switzerland, it's Zurich, which is like the richest place, right? And so, Swiss people, Swiss man, hankering for a cookie, and remembering the taste of the cookie from 5 years ago. Do you remember what you ate 5 years ago? So how come he remembered for 5 years the taste of that cookie? Why? Because it's not just a cookie. It was prasadam, right? And people may not know, but Paramatma in the heart knows, right? And so he was hankering to have another experience of prasadam. And we become so familiar with the whole thing that I've seen that, you know, like Sunday feast, and devotees throw in a trash so much prasadam, it's like unbelievable. I was horrified. And I was thinking, you know, this is something has to be done about it. And it's happening all over. And so some devotees, they use some, you know, some leaders, they use some preventive measures, like temple president in Tirupati, his name is Revati Raman Brahmu, very nice devotee, and very smart. He used to manage, he used to be manager in big international company before he became a devotee, so he's not only a devotee, but he's professional as well. And he knows how to prevent people from doing nonsense. So in a prasadam hall, they put big posters with different quotes from scriptures. And I still remember one quote. I think I'll remember that for the rest of my life, that this was the quote from Agni Purana, which was said that one grain of prasadam wasted is enough to go to hell for 10 lifetimes. You know, every time I'm taking prasadam, I'm thinking, you know, like, did I make sure that there is not even one grain left? You know, 10 lifetimes in hell for one grain, that's a little bit expensive. Price to pay, right? So like that. But unfortunately, you know, this principle, familiarity breeds contempt, is very widespread. And yeah, this is what's happening in India, that people have too much of Krishna consciousness, and so they stop valuing it, right? And that's why Srila Prabhupada had to go to the West and help Indians to understand the value of their own culture and their own knowledge. There was one cartoon in Russia. Apparently this kind of story is also told in other countries, that one man has a dry cow and he wants to sell that cow to the market, and he went and, you know, he just couldn't sell it. No one wanted to buy, and so he's very frustrated and he is ready to take the cow back home. But then one middleman comes to him, what do you call them? Anyway, you know, one trader, and he says, "You cannot sell your cow, let me help you. I'll sell your cow and then I'll have a, you know, interest from that sale." And this man says, "Yeah, of course, go for it. I cannot do it myself anyway, so what's the use? Something's better than nothing." So, and then this trader is very, very smart. And then it's very interesting. He says things in a poetical form, you know, rhyming things, and also tells things in such a way that these are not lies, but he tells, you know, the truth in such a way that it has double meaning. Like some people are asking him, you know, like, "How much milk does the cow give?" And he says, "Oh, you would have to milk whole day that your hand will get tired." And so it's like you can understand it, whether it's so much you cannot milk it out, or, you know, there is nothing to milk out, right? But of course people think, oh, if this cow is so much advertised, this must be really good cow. And then they place their bids. I'll pay so much. No, I'll pay more, and I'll pay more. And there is like huge crowd, and everyone is putting their bids on. And then the owner of the cow, he looks at all this commotion around this cow, you know, people nearly fighting for the cow. And he says, no, I changed my mind. I need this cow for myself. So this is how it's happening, right? And so, Prabhupada also helped India appreciate Krishna consciousness by bringing it to the Western countries. And making Western people into devotees. And of course we know that traditionally, and it is very interesting phenomena, traditionally from the times of Lord Chaitanya, it's always been a revolution. It's always been, you know, that one should be defined as belonging to a particular section of society, not according to the birthright, but according to the qualities, right? So this was Lord Chaitanya's stand, and that's why he was initiating Shudras. He was initiating outcast people, right? Like Haridas Thakur, coming from Muslim family, right? So he became great Namacharya, Ramananda Rai, practically having Shudra position. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a lot of credit. And so there were many, many followers of Lord Chaitanya who were coming from, you know, non-Brahminical families, etc. But then, and this is really important, I think, for us, because we may think, oh, you know, we are the followers of Lord Chaitanya, and so we know what is right and what is wrong. But then, mind history again, right? And as we were saying, that the most, you know, like, most, the biggest lesson from history is that no one learns from history. That when Srila Prabhupada came with his first disciples to the Western, to Vrindavan, right? And then so many of his own god brothers came, and they were shouting at Srila Prabhupada, the whole group of them, in the presence of his disciples. And the whole conversation was in Bengali language, and so they could not exactly follow, but they could make it out because they were showing at the American devotees, and then, you know, shouting at Srila Prabhupada, and they were using the words like mlechas yavanas, so they realized what was going on. That they were saying, how did you bring all these mlechas and yavanas, you know, making them into devotees, etc. And Prabhupada kept quiet. And after they ran out of steam, after they stopped shouting. And it's not that it just happened for no reason. Some of the disciples, some of the devotees, American devotees, did something which was not acceptable. Like some devotees stole at the market for Krishna. Because that was their understanding. For Krishna, you can do anything. Etc. And then, of course, it brought so much uproar from Brajabasis, you know, what are these guys doing? And so they came with a complaint, and Prabhupada didn't argue with them at all, that he was just waiting until they get tired of shouting. And after they stopped, and they were waiting for his response, and instead of responding in Bengali, he responded in English to make sure that his disciples also understand. He said, I'm only trying to fulfill the instruction of my spiritual master. And they couldn't say anything because it was true, right? And they had to turn around and leave. That was all. And so, yes, it is true that those who are born in Brahmana Vaishnava families, they're supposed to be the first and foremost to take the responsibility and carry the heritage of Sanatana Dharma all over the world. But if these guys are sleeping and doing nothing, someone has to do it, right? And Srila Prabhupada tried so hard to preach in India. No one responded, right? Means everyone was completely stupid, right? They couldn't realize the value of Sanatana Dharma. And then Srila Prabhupada had to go to the West and he had to collect whomever he could inspire, right? And give them the responsibility. And then India woke up, right? Then India thought, okay, my God. And sometimes I'm thinking, you know, like, because nowadays in the first world countries there are so many devotees coming from Indian families and many times coming from Brahmana families and sometimes coming even from Vaishnava families, right? And I'm thinking, who am I to explain what is Sanatana Dharma to these people because they are more qualified, right? What would be the benefit? But I'm thinking that the greatest benefit would be that these devotees would look at me and they would think, okay, if someone coming from an outcast background, not even belonging to India, Indian families can travel all over the world and spread Sanatana Dharma, I should be doing that even more, right? So that should be like an encouragement. You know, what am I doing? Just wasting my time here. Let me do something serious in Srila Prabhupada's mission, right? Because this is so important. And so this is the idea. And Sanatana Dharma and Krishna consciousness has transformative effect, and it's been proven through the centuries that there have always been people in Sanatana Dharma who come from low caste or outcast families, and they would become great Vaishnavas, right? What's the first example which comes to the mind? From Bhagavatam. Who is the great celebrated sage who comes from Shudra family? No, Prahlad Maharaj comes from Kshatriya family. Who comes from Shudra family? Narad Muni, yes. So many. I mean, Vedic scriptures are full of these examples, right? And there is another example which is very startling. And it's actually described right in Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad gives that example, right? That the great celebrated sage Gautama Rishi is inviting children to come and learn in his Gurukul. And so, you know quite well that in India, everyone knows Gotra, right? Which Gotra you belong to? I belong to this Gotra, you know. Angira Muni Gotra, Bharadvaj Gotra, this Gotra, that Gotra. Of course, Prabhupada said, we all belong to Achyuta Gotra. That's common for everyone because everyone comes originally from the Supreme Lord. He is the original father of all. And then Gautama Rishi was asking, what's your Gotra, what's your Gotra? Who are your parents? So everyone was saying, but then he was asking one boy, and this boy was the son of prostitute, right? And his mother did not know who was his father, right? Because she had contact with so many men, she couldn't track the, you know, whose son is that. And so when this boy was asked, what's your gotra, who is your father? He said, I cannot say because my mother had so many contact with so many men, she couldn't say, you know, who is my father. And all the boys started laughing. Hey, look, he's the son of a prostitute. And then he comes to such a celebrated Vedic sage, and he's hoping to get enrollment in this Gurukul. This is ridiculous. Who is he? He should not be even, like, staying here next to us. But then Gautama Rishi said, no. This boy was so brave that he told the truth, despite of, you know, all the ridicule and criticism. And the truthfulness is the quality of a Brahmana. So he is a Brahmana by quality, not by birth, but by quality he is a Brahmana. And so I'll take him. And this boy became, right? And actually, there is one Upanishad, which is called Jabala Upanishad, right? So he's very famous, but he comes from this kind of background. So we can see that the entire history of Sanatana Dharma is full of that examples. And therefore, those claims that, yes, we are Brahmanas and we are the only guys who can represent Sanatana Dharma are totally false, right? And this is one of the main causes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fighting against, right? That only Brahmanas, only hereditary Brahmanas can represent Krishna and Sanatana Dharma. But at the same time, we have to be very mindful of our own position that, you know, we do not become like that, right? After fighting and winning, we do not become the next, we do not become like that. It's like there is one story about one dragon who was ruling a kingdom, right? And then so many princes were going and fighting with the dragon, and they would disappear. So the understanding was, okay, that they were killed by that dragon. But one man decided to go and check it out. What happened to all those princes? And then he went. Then, to his amazement, he discovered that the last prince who went to fight with the dragon actually defeated the dragon, killed him, ascended the throne, and became the next dragon. Right? So, unfortunately, this is also very typical, right? That why hereditary Brahmanas claim, you know, have this claim that we are the only guys who can represent Sanatana Dharma, etc. Because of pride, right? And pride leads to a fall. But pride is, something which can always develop. That's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stressing the third verse of Shesha Upanishad, that the three most important qualities for constantly chanting the holy names are Trinadapisanichana, which means Krishna Das. What does it mean, Trinadapisanichana? To be more tolerant than a tree. Very good. And Taror Apisahishnuna? Anyone else? More humble than a blade of grass. And Amani Namanadana? to be always respectful and never demand any respect for yourself, right? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in this frame, in this state of mind, one can always chant the holy names of the Lord. So, and if one becomes proud, one can fall exactly into the same kind of caste consciousness, right? And then lose the understanding of what real Krishna consciousness means. Unfortunately, we have seen that in Gaudiya tradition, that you know, it's pretty common thing, unfortunately, right? That that's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, was saying to Srila Prabhupada, that I'm so regretful that, you know, I built this huge marble temple in Calcutta in Bagh Bazar, and all they do there is just fighting for the rooms, who should stay in the best room, right? It's basically the result of pride. And so then the entire mission has, you know, was fallen because of the pride and fighting amongst each other. And so it's like Narad Muni is giving instruction to Dhruva Maharaj. He says that the proper way to develop your relationship with others is to respect seniors, make friends with equals, and be kind and compassionate to juniors, right? And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that it's very important, because typical attitude is to be envious of seniors, right? And criticize seniors, and compete with peers, right? Okay, these guys, they think I'm equal to them, I'll show that I'm actually better than them, right? And then abuse juniors, right? And so these instructions are there for us. It's something to be always focused on and something to avoid. And that's why Srila Prabhupada and the whole parampara, starting from Shukadeva Goswami, are insisting Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Right? We should always attend Bhagavatam classes, because that helps us to be mindful of our goal and never lose track. Never forget, why did we join this movement? Right? I think for many devotees, you know, the question, how did you join the movement, is very easy to answer, right? But many devotees struggle to answer, why did you join this movement? Right? What's your motivation? And so this is what Bhagavatam helps us to understand. That's why it's so important to always listen and discuss these topics in the Association of Devotees. All right, so anyone has questions, comments? Krishna Das is always first.
If the Lord in the parampara is the first to be the master of Brahma, then why does he become the disciple of Narada?
Krishna? How did he become a disciple of Narada?
Because Krishna came as Vyasadeva. Krishna is
Dvaipayana Vyasadeva. Oh, well, Vyasadeva is Krishna, but he is not Vishnu Tattva, he is Jiva Tattva. He is the living entity empowered by the Supreme Lord. But at the same time, being the Supreme does not mean Krishna will not serve his devotees and will not show respect to his devotees. Like you can see, Narad Muni comes to Krishna's palace and Krishna is washing his feet and serves Narad Muni very nicely, right? So Krishna likes to serve his devotees, he likes to show respect to his devotees, but this does not diminish his supreme position. All right? Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. So, if there are no more questions, we can finish earlier. And I think for me it is important because I have to catch my flight, which is pretty early in the morning. I have to go. So, thank you all very much for your kind attention and enthusiastic kirtans. I thought this is the way how to keep yourself always warm in the winter. If you dance in kirtans, you don't feel any cold, right? All right, and I wish you all the best with your Krishna conscious practices and preaching Krishna consciousness, spreading it, and we have little more of Maha Prasad from Giras, the grand final. Everyone can have a piece. And if you didn't have the opportunity to do your dharma, this is for grihasthas, and give donations, you can do so. This is your last chance. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi. Grantarāj śrīmad-bhāgavatam ki jāi. Nitāi gaura-prema-nandē.